Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Sam Neuer, Oregon State's newest quarterback.
Get him on the show.
He's on the show at 1 o'clock. On the show now, guru of the Pac-12 conference, man of the world, man of the people, John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News, blistering column on Larry Scott there, Wilner.
You know what? I don't usually write columns like that. I'm more about the issue, but that one, I just didn't think it could go without a response. What he said and putting the blame on the schools, that's just, to me, it's just not right. It's not accurate. It's partly accurate, not completely accurate, and just not right in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and he, you know, and look, we see that kind of stuff sometimes. People do sort of an exit interview and they want to reframe history. What was the biggest problem you had with Larry Scott in the New York Times doing this Q&A that was sort of a puff piece, but what was the biggest issue you had with it?
Well, I mean, to me, it's just the fact that in both that and the Associated Press Q&A, it's just that he is, you know, he sees all the evidence and all the facts, and he said, no, the reality is something quite different. And he's in his own reality, I think, in a lot of ways. He's saying that his strategy, which we have seen was wrong, is going to be proven to be true. And he's, you know, with the media, with the Pac-12 networks, and he's blaming the schools, saying, well, they're, you know what, my strategy would be right. But they are too consumed with their own budget issues to let the whole thing play out. And in the reality on the front lines is you have to be consumed with budget issues, right? I mean, it's a business. Universities are businesses.
It's the Pac-12 as it moves forward with George Kliavkoff. I just kept thinking, you know, I can't imagine George Kliavkoff coming in and just kind of pushing all of the blame to the presidents and chancellors. They're not perfect. But it was Larry Scott's job to get these deals done, and he didn't. And in the end, I felt like I wanted to hear some humility.
Yes, that has not been a strong suit of the commissioner, humility, from what we've seen, as you know. And you know, just you're doing this, your 12 years are up. Why don't you just say, you know what, I'm grateful for a great 12 years. I wish the schools luck. Sure, we wish we had won more. We wish there had been more, you know, more revenue. But, you know, we tried our best, and I hope that things work out in the future. That's the high road. He did not take the high road. He called out four schools for not producing on the football field. He blamed the athletic directors and the presidents for not sticking by his strategy. It's just, you know, it was just a very self-centered look, and in my mind, he deserved to be called out.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. The 12-team college football playoff proposal, do you like it? Do you love it? Do you have questions about it?
I like it a lot. I was a little, you know, if you had asked me a month or two ago, I would have said that I would have figured eight. They'd go to eight, right? I mean, college football has changed its postseason incrementally over the decades, right? We went from the Bowl Coalition to the Bowl Alliance to the Bowl Championship Series, and then the playoff, four-team playoff, and now they're skipping six, they're skipping eight, and they're going all the way to 12. So I was surprised that they decided to take that kind of a leap, but I do think it's smart in many ways, and I think that one of the biggest drivers of this is that they're concerned about the future of the sport as a national sport. And they're worried it's becoming too Southeast-centric, right? With the dominance of the SEC and Clemson especially, the audience is dissipating, you know, in the other regions, and they realize they had to do something to make it a true national postseason.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the entire western part of the United States has been left out largely in the playoff. The SEC, is it licking its chops here, Wilner? Because, you know, is the SEC going to get three teams in every year? Or what's going to happen?
Oh, I think we should presume they're going to get three in every year. And the question is, at what point are they going to get four? I mean, they, you know, the SEC has a different mentality, especially compared to the Pac-12. Right? SEC's mentality is, we are going to dominate college football. We are going to win national championships every year. And we are going to crush the competition. And so they insisted that it go to 12. You know, the 6 and 18 models would have only given them, would have only allowed for a maximum of two at-large berths, which is what we have now. I mean, basically. And so they wanted more at-large berths so they could put more teams in. So their commissioner, who's the most powerful guy in college sports, really, said, no, let's go to 12 because that creates six at-large berths, and we're going to try to get all six if we can.
Yeah, I keep looking at it and going, you know, this is great for the conference. I think you get Pac-12 teams in. Will you get two in? Will you ever get three in? Yet if you look at recent history, Wilner, would it have boded well, a 12-team playoff? Oregon, certainly a conference champion, would have been in a couple of times in the last couple of years.
I can't think of a year in which, well, let's forget about last year, right, because it was so screwy. Otherwise, I can't think of a year in which a Pac-12 champ wouldn't have gotten in. And some of those years, it would have been two, for sure. So it's not ideal for the Pac-12 in that the champion is not guaranteed. But there's like a 95% chance that the Pac-12 champ is going to get in. Right? The only way it's not going to happen is if that champion has four or five losses. If it's like a deal where, hypothetically speaking, 7-5 USC beats 10-2 Oregon in the conference championship game, well, then, you know, USC's probably not going to meet the criteria necessary as a five-loss champion, so the conference could get left out. But if that's the case and your champ has got five losses, you don't deserve to get in, right? I mean, it'll be obvious. But I think most of the time the Pac-12 will put a team in, no doubt.
John Wilner with us, Pac-12 guru. You can find him on Twitter at Wilner Hotline. Wilner, the Sam Noyer, Colorado's quarterback, announced today he jumped in the portal earlier in the week. He's going to land at Oregon State. What should Beavers fans expect from Noyer?
Well, you know, I just found out about that thanks to your intrepid producer while I was waiting to come on. I had turned my head for like 30 seconds away from Twitter, and there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's just, but that's the way it goes with the portal these days. It's just like you need Dramamine every time you get in there. You know, to me, the biggest thing is it's a security blanket for Oregon State, right? I mean, I don't know, is Jebbia's hamstring, you know, and the other guys, it's a little rickety right now if you're Jonathan Smith, and now you're adding a kid who was a second-team all-conference quarterback last year. Now, I'm not sure that I would call him the second-best quarterback in the conference, but, you know, he's incredibly experienced. I think it's at least his fifth year, might even be his sixth. You know, he started as a quarterback at Colorado, then he switched to defensive back, then he moved back to quarterback last year, and he had a good year. And so the Beavers know, no matter what, that they are going to be able to trot out a veteran starting quarterback as their number one guy, whether it's Noyer or Jebbia. They've got options now. I think it's a big, big security blanket pickup for them.
Yeah, and I just look at the room in general. I think there were some questions in the room about Jebbia, as you mentioned, and Chance Nolan, and you're getting a guy who's just a baller. Like, you know, offense, defense, special teams. He's just a guy, and I mean this in the best way. He'll go out, and he's going to grind for you.
Absolutely. He's tough. He's a good leader. There's no doubt about that. And you know, he's been around, right? He's been in Boulder for a long time, and he's played both sides of the ball, and he's just You know, that's exactly what they need. It's another, you know, I'm not sure any school has made better use of the transfer portal over the last 3 or 4 years, the transfer market before there was an actual portal, than Jonathan Smith. And this is kind of another example of that.
Let me just throw this at you. Let's say you and I are, you know, we are the CEOs of a Pac-12 program, like, you know, at Oregon State, Washington State, Arizona, you know, not one of the perennial winners. Wouldn't we live in the portal? Like, I think there's less risk in there because otherwise we're recruiting a bunch of high school kids that we don't, you know, there are a lot of questions in development.
There's no doubt about that. And there's also, you know, the portal is almost like the rebound guy in a relationship, right? I mean, some of these kids, you know, they're 17 years old and they're attracted to stuff that isn't necessarily real, right? They want to see the glitz and glamour of the recruiting process and have, you know, have teams tweeting about them and all that stuff. But then you go to school and, you know, a couple years go by and it's not working out. And then it's like, you know what, my career's on the line. I need to pick a place that's going to help me develop and help me potentially become an NFL draft pick. And you make a more mature decision. You're a more mature person after a year or two in college. You make a more mature decision, and that's perfect for a place like Oregon State or, like you said, Arizona, Washington State. I mean, even Colorado in some regards. So, yeah, the question, though, is how many scholarships do you allot for transfers every year, right? Because, you know, you got to sign some high school kids. You can't bring in 20 new players from the portal every year. So it's a constant calculation for the coaches. And now it's even more complicated because of the intra-conference transfer deal. Neuer can be eligible next season at Oregon State, whereas before he would have had to sit out a year. So it's that much more complicated.
Wilner, I have more questions for you. Can I hold you over commercial break, a quick break? Because I want to ask you. I want to ask you about the new commissioner's Twitter activity. I want to ask you about the biggest recruits that the Pac-12 teams are chasing. He's got his big schedule and what it means. I want to ask you all that stuff right after this break. Thank you for being so kind to stick around. More with John Wilner right after this quick break. We've been chatting with the guru, the foremost expert on Pac-12 conference developments, John Wilner, Bay Area News Group. You can read him in the Oregonian on Oregon Live. You can read him at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. Wilner's still with us. I got to ask you about the new commissioner, George Kliavkov's Twitter activity. Why is that interesting to you?
Probably because the old commissioner didn't have any Twitter activity, at least none that we know of. You know, I don't know about you. I've always wondered if Larry Scott had a burner account, so he was watching what was going on. But look, I mean, that's the way of the world right now is social media, and it's how you get your messaging out. And he has been fairly active on Twitter during his gig as president of sports entertainment at MGM, and he's tweeted some about the Pac-12 since whatever his hire date was, May 15th or something. He even tweeted something about 100 days until kickoff, you know, for the Pac-12. And the fact that he's doing that, to me, kind of just tells you that he's a sports fan, right? I never really got the impression that Larry Scott was a huge sports fan, at least not much of a college sports fan outside of what his job required. But given who Kliavkov follows, it seems like he's a real sports fan, and that's good for the conference.
Yeah, and I think you're right about the burner accounts. I don't think, I don't think there's probably a sports executive out there that doesn't have one. I have seen some suspicious activity on some Twitter feeds out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you had this on your latest report, the Pac-12 Hotline analysis. You talked about the biggest recruit in the Pac-12 conference. Who are we talking about, and where is he visiting?
So it's JT Tuimoloau, who is a defensive lineman from Seattle, and he's a five-star player. He's ranked by the 24/7 recruiting service, thinks he's the number one player in the country. And he is a senior. He's a high school senior. But he has not signed with anybody because, you know, NCAA rules prohibited him from taking any official visits. So he held out. And now this month, finally, he can take official visits, go see the schools, talk to people. And it's down to Washington, Oregon, SC, Ohio State, and Alabama. And he's going to be a giant recruit for any of the schools. But, you know, I just think this is a kid that the Pac-12 can't lose, right? It's a crucial position, defensive line. He's a five-star player. He's from Seattle. You can't lose him. And we'll see, because they might lose him. You know, a lot of people think he's going to end up at Ohio State.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the schedule. You know, it looks to me that, is he visiting Oregon second to last, or has he switched that?
So he's seen Washington. He goes to, I believe he saw Washington. I think SC is next.
Ohio State
and Oregon, yeah. And Alabama. I think that's the order. The problem for the Pac-12 is that Alabama's last, right? I mean, that's like, you know, tie baseball game and the other team in the bottom of the ninth with Willie Mays leading off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a problem because Saban. You know, he's going to know what he's got to do. The kid gets to make the last impression, and that's going to be tough. I mean, I'm sure Ohio State can't be happy that Alabama's last. And I don't know what went in exactly to setting that schedule. But, I mean, if you're Washington, Oregon, SC, it's like, oh, man, this is the last thing we need.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder in that order if you want to go last, don't you? Like, Alabama has to be smiling and snickering. They'll get the last word before he makes a decision.
Absolutely. You either want to be first or last. I did think it was significant that he put Washington first. So the hometown school gets to make the first impression, kind of set the bar, right? Alabama's last. They get the last swing at him. If you're Oregon or SC and you're kind of in the middle group, I think it's not ideal at all. I think Washington probably improved their chances a little bit, but on the whole, with Alabama last, and given the kid has long indicated he's interested in Ohio State, I think the Pac-12 is in trouble.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. Yeah, you have to start winning some of those recruiting battles. I'm looking around the conference looking for a great QB, and there are a couple down playing at major colleges nowhere near the Pac-12 footprint.
Nowhere near. You got a lot of good West Coast quarterbacks playing for other schools, right? I mean, if you look at the lineup of Pac-12 QBs entering this coming season, it's pretty unimpressive. I mean, some of that may have to do with the fact that last season was so abbreviated that nobody was really able to show what they could do. But it's not an impressive lineup at all. And yet you look around the country and you think, well, boy, there's a California kid. There's a Arizona kid. But they're not in the Pac-12. So it will be real interesting to see if the conference could have a high level of success without necessarily having high-level quarterback play.
You also ranked the Pac-12 QBs. It's not a great year for QBs. But
no, and I did that before Oregon State picked up Neuer.
How does that shift the, is that in the middle of the pack? Is it, you know, just solidify their room? And who do you think right now, if I have to give you, just say two QBs, who are the best two QBs in the conference?
Boy. Well, I think it does help. I don't remember offhand where I had Oregon State, but I know it was close to the bottom, but I would now move them up several spots because they've got two starters they can turn to, right? I mean, and not only does that give you two options for starting, but it improves your backup. And to me, a lot of the quarterback rankings have to do with how good your backup is, because if your starter goes down, you've got to have somebody that's semi-competent. And now Oregon State has got a backup who's semi-competent, no matter who they pick to start. So that's a big part of it for the Beavers. But if I were picking the top two, I guess I would pick Keenan Slovis at SC, and I might go with Charlie Brewer at Utah, who is a transfer from Baylor. But the guy threw like 60 touchdown passes in the Big 12, so he's obviously a good player. The Pac-12 doesn't really have another proven quarterback, really, at a high level.
You had Oregon State at 11th out of 12.
I would probably move them. They'd certainly be way up. They'd certainly be above Colorado. I'd probably put the Beavers 8th or 9th now at this point, right? And that's also not really knowing how that hamstring is going, you know, and the fact that he has, Jimmy has not, I don't think he's done anything, right? Like, certainly no spring practice, but I'm not sure even how much of the, you know, 7-on-7 workouts he's done.
John Wilner, you're the best. Thank you for sticking around and giving us some great content and insight. Follow him on Twitter, at Wilner Hotline. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There he is. That's your dose of Pac-12 expertise. I always want to leave an interview. Couple things. I want to be entertained. I want to leave smarter. Or I want to leave excited about something that I just learned. Like, I can't stand, and it happens all the time when I'm listening to other shows or TV shows that are just kind of these boilerplate interview shows where, like, I don't learn anything. I love talking to Wilner because I learn something every time we talk. And I get insight, I get expertise, I feel like I'm smarter. If you missed any of that, grab the podcast. Stick around. Our big splash is coming up. It's not going to be what you think. By the way, Sam Noyer, transfer from Colorado to Oregon State, coming up at...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.